Good morning, everyone. Just give me one moment as I pull up my notes. So, what a difference a day makes. I'd like to talk a bit about, along those lines, the concept of sacrifice, where you give something up today for something tomorrow that might put yourself through something bad on the current day for something of a bit of a future benefit. Might start with some day-to-day examples of sacrifice that we might do in our everyday lives. So probably going to work is a form of sacrifice that you don't really necessarily enjoy doing it, but you kind of have to. You know that if I go to work, I'll get paid, which means I can do these other things. You might sacrifice different things in your life to put together a house deposit, for example, that rather than going out to out for dinner as often as you might want to, you'll be putting that aside and you're delaying something for a future benefit. And when we go to the biblical concept of sacrifice, I want you to think about that. I think personally I've kind of overcomplicated the idea of sacrifice, is that it can, particularly with, I suppose, all the sacrificial system in the Bible, it can, I suppose, make it a bit of a seeming like a bit of a religious thing. But for a moment, just have a think about it in the context of sacrifice, that you're giving up something now for some future greater benefit. The first example of human sacrificing to God in the Bible is actually that of Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel both presented as sacrifices. Abel's Cain's wasn't considered acceptable to God, but Abel's was. I might actually just read briefly from there. So this is in Genesis chapter 4. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So we're seeing here that there's sacrifice made to gods. Some sacrifices are pleasing and others not. I don't really have time to go fully into that concept today, but just kind of want to keep thinking about this concept of sacrifice. Further on that, the Old Testament law talks about why sacrifice has been made. So I want to jump to Leviticus chapter 4. So it says, it goes through a few different sacrifices, but this is one of them. So if any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, when they realise their guilt and the sin they've committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. And then at the end of the chapter, it kind of goes on some of the form and exactly what that should look like. But at the end, it says, in this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the sin they've committed and they will be forgiven. So this concept of sacrifice is giving up something valuable to yourself. In this case, it's like the firstborn of the flock. So from a farming community, this is a really big deal. You're talking a big sacrifice, but you're getting a much bigger reward. So the forgiveness of sins, what sacrifice would not be worth it for that? To continue on this theme, I'd like to go to the story of Abraham and Isaac. This is a bit of a tricky one. Can get a very difficult story. You probably, most of you will know where I'm about to go. So the story in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham goes to sacrifice his son Isaac. So I'll read the story. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham. He said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. This is a pretty confronting story, and while there's a lot to be said about, I suppose, the topic of why did God go through this process, and I should probably just make a point in passing that I think God would make it very clear here he didn't actually approve a child sacrifice. But what I really want to draw on is the shocking nature of sacrificing a child. That we see that story and it's kind of repulsive. Like, how can you sacrifice your son? It's huge. What God did, though, he provided a substitute, and he provided the sacrifice. This story is actually really closely linked to what Jesus did. God sacrificed his son. And I think this story here that I just read from really shows just how shocking and big a deal it was that we read the story of Abraham and Isaac and we're just like, how could someone sacrifice their son? And then we go fast forward to the New Testament and we see that God was willing to sacrifice his son. It's just absolutely amazing. And I've been, I suppose, thinking about this and just the enormity of it. And the verse from Romans 5 verse 8 comes to mind. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He provided a sacrifice of a perfect person, Jesus Christ. A guilty sacrifice wouldn't do that. Each of us humans are guilty before God. We've all sinned and fallen short. God sent a sacrifice of his son. And when we normally think of sacrifice, we're thinking about sacrificing for our own good. So the example I was talking about earlier about, you know, you go to a job so you can earn money and have a house over your house to live in and food on the table. This is a form of sacrifice going to another whole level. We're talking about sacrificing for someone else's benefit. What God sacrificed was actually for us, that he took what we see as an enormous sacrifice, and he didn't do it for his own benefit. He did it for you and I, for the forgiveness of our sins. I'd just like you to think on that for a moment, and I'll pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that we can now be made clean and that our sins can be forgiven, not on a regular basis through the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but you paid the ultimate price once and for all. We thank you for that. Pray this in Jesus' name.